Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point, Lauzon fires, he scores! Jeremy Lauzon, a blast that bracketed just under the crossbar. He drilled it from the near point, and the Bruins have tied the Golden Knights at one.
98.5, the Sports Over Toucher and Rich. We were just talking about this Rammstein concert that's coming to Gillette and how crazy it is with pyro.
I showed you the trailer, and I tweeted it out. It's just guys with flamethrowers shooting down hovering helicopters, and everyone's on fire.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Hey, yeah, I've been to several other Rammstein concerts, and even a couple years ago, they played in Worcester here, and their lead singer actually set himself on fire. It was literally running around on stage and crap. It's a massive pyrotechnics, and they sing most of their songs in German. They do have some English translations, but it is a crazy show. If you gotta go, it's just fire everywhere and crap exploding, and it's nuts.
Okay, so Jaffe just walked in, and he said something which is the least surprising thing ever. And he said, Rammstein's huge in all of the NHL locker rooms. I'm like,
I'm saying the techno, that music, there's a lot of kids that...
Well, it's not techno.
No, it's industrial.
Industrial.
But you're right. This is so down Tuukka Rask's alley.
I was just going to say Rask. Right.
There's no question. Tuukka Rask is going to have the first, 10 rows.
Yeah. Well, you know he's friends with him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he'll be hanging out with Rammstein.
There was a poll on The Athletic that about asking players about certain things, best dress, worst dress, best roommate, this, mm-hmm. that. Best music, worst music, and every team's got one or two guys that love
Rammstein.
Well, industrial. I didn't realize that. They just out there music that us old guys probably don't understand or anything. But no, hey, they.
So that is what plays in the locker room. While
I can't tell
there?
You. I'm saying in locker rooms in general, you just go you go by a college locker room, you hear different things.
Who, when you were at Michigan, who got to pick the music?
What seniors always.
All right.
Seniors always got to. We had one guy that liked some country. We had another guy that he was from Western, actually he's from Seattle area. We had another guy from Michigan that, Bob Seger and Ted Nugent.
Yeah, Detroit boys. That's right. Boy Dukes.
But no, and when I was in college, it was when GNR was coming out.
Sure.
And that was getting big.
Okay, so that was probably easy to pop on to.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think Tuukka Rask has talked about how much he loves that. He likes that, that crazy, what's the church, the dark metal where they dress like elves and stuff?
The satanic stuff.
Yeah, the guys who, set churches on fire and stuff.
Yeah.
And black metal, that's it. He's into black metal.
Yeah, they have plastic surgery and get their ears
right, the guy, I forget what band that is, where the guy got, he made himself, through surgery, look like an evil orc. So he can never not look like an evil orc. Gwar's masks and stuff.
Yeah, Gwar's like
and they're a comedy show. Right, yeah. No. This is like, I forget what it's called.
And it's all like synthesizers and like, it's. I dare you to listen to it for like 5 seconds.
Right. I tell you what, I coached a team a bunch of years ago over, it was 2013. And so I was the old, you know, wasn't playing. I was just coaching this team. And it was all 22-ish year old kids, college kids and laughter and the music in you want to feel old is when the music in the locker room, you're like, I don't know who that is. And they know everything to it. And between hip hop and rock and different rock and techno and industrial, that's when you feel old.
All right. So you are friends with Roenick and yeah. He has gotten, is he still in trouble?
I think that's kind of gone away. So he apologized. You're talking about when he was on with Spitting Chicklets with Rear Admiral. He was doing an interview, and they asked about how they were talking about his, you know, how he's friends with Catherine Tapp. And he goes, yeah, I mean, we're such good friends that she goes on vacation with my wife and I. And he made a joke about how, you know, sometimes I like to pretend, you know, tell people that we're all going to the room together to do whatever. And so Catherine Tappan heard about that. And obviously she was upset. She said that she was upset. Roenick apologized, said I should never talk to about a coworker that way. And it's, he sounded obviously sincere about it.
Okay. So it's over.
I mean, that's the last I've heard of it. So and nothing
publicly. I mean, I haven't really involved. I know that he's back home and he's still, you know, hasn't been on NBC Sports since then.
Oh, really? See, I did not know that.
Yeah, he hasn't been on there then, and he's just relaxing, getting some things organized, and, you know, I think it's, you know, a learning experience.
Was he surprised?
I can't speak for him, but I think that, you know, I think I'll feel, yeah, I mean.
Well, you're friends with him.
I am.
I'm not asking for any inside.
No, I know. Was he surprised? I think that it was a thing that came out that, a lot of people said, geez, you know, it's can't say certain things anymore and you got to be cognizant of it. And, you know, certain people say, well, what he said wasn't that bad. And other people said, yeah, you can't do that. And so that's where we are now. And if one person doesn't like what you say.
Well, I think it was Catherine that it was if Catherine was upset with it, then.
I guess that's really the only one that matters.
I absolutely think so. But, you know, I think if NBC was upset with it, that would be the first place to look for what happened, meaning, and that was, you know, and of course, Catherine. I mean, everybody loves Catherine, and she's, you know, nobody, forget her, take her out of it, take anybody out of it. You know, we live in that, I don't need to tell you guys this, you're on it every day.
Yeah.
Certain things, all it takes is one person in management to say, nope, not going to have that.
So anymore. You're not going to talk about any threesomes with Dale Arnold?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that.
No. Has Victoria ever
I have a joke here that I almost started to say. I'm like, I can't say not about right. Dale.
Not Dale. Yes,
no,
it was about
no,
Dale.
Because
John is dying.
I had one.
No, I had
go ahead. Go do it. Do it.
I can't
censor it appropriately.
It wasn't a joke. It was a thing that I was going to say that because of the history of. My what? You were asking about Victoria.
Victoria, yeah. has she ever, like, for instance, my wife, after Cuts for a Cause, she's like, all these Bruins players have great asses. I hope that's okay to say. And so she said that.
They got hockey ass. That's right.
Yeah. And then, so yeah. I wonder if Victoria ever, after it was Billy's beautiful wife, very lovely woman, if she's ever said to you, like, after a broadcast, like, look at that Dale. Billy, if in 20 years you can look like that, we're in business.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Yes. No, my wife. No,
Does he have like a weird Dale? Like, Where are we going? Does Dale?
Dale Arnold.
There's a 9-day hiatus, Jimmy. Now, you don't have headphones in, but he's playing like sexy music.
Sexy Van Halen.
I'm about to take. I don't even wear headphones.
Billy, you're
going to
sit here and take this. This is what's happening.
Turn this back on.
Okay, so when I was with Dan Roach, I did a broadcast with him from what microphone is on?
It's this one. It's the next one. He's moved it over.
You got two
it's the one next to me, Fred.
No, I know, but I only have
there you go.
Four mics.
You
up.
Should be fine.
Oh, no,
you should be
I'm
fine.
Good.
Now.
You're good.
Yeah,
all right, good.
Sorry.
You're good. Okay, no, it wasn't you. All right, so like when I was with Dan Roach at we were like, where were we? Mohegan Sun or Fox? What's one of those?
One of the casinos, yeah.
And he had this contingent of women, and he'll tell you, I'm not lying,
mm-hmm.
that were old. And when I say old,
old.
We had a woman in an oxygen tank roll up and say hi to him.
And it happened
in
like,
a wheelchair.
And it happened like five times.
You're talking fans.
Yes.
That like loved it.
Yes. You're such a nice young man. Seriously. I was witness to this.
He is. He's the nicest guy.
No, we know that. But yeah, he had like groupies.
Yeah.
That dude could just steamroll through the retirement home if he wanted to.
You don't have to worry about getting anyone pregnant.
Nope.
All right, so.
He's big with the.
You don't have to wear protection. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Your opinion on protection.
Billy, your thoughts.
No, but Billy.
This might be the greatest 30 minutes of my Toucher and Rich life.
All right, so you only have 19 to go.
But in all honesty, because obviously you have female fans.
Yeah, I don't know. But okay, yeah.
A handsome Jewish athlete. Oh, Billy. I know girls that like, ooh, who's that?
No one stops you at TD Garden when you're working.
People are awesome there.
You yeah, know, everyone at the Garden's great.
They're awesome. No, I mean, you have people that that are great, and there are people that are a little creepy, but that's, you know.
Because I know women that are, like, nice married women, but they'll go, like, oh, yeah, that Billy Jaffe, and then I'll go, and he's Jewish, and they go, oh.
Really?
I don't know why.
You don't know why?
There was a thing. Well, maybe the crowd you're hanging, but
that's the dream. You don't know why. That's the dream.
Oh God. Oh God. 18.
There are certain restaurants you can go to where it's target practice, right?
There
are certain
game.
Restaurants in Boston where Billy could go to that it would be target practice.
That's right.
See, perfect.
Well, I don't know why. Never mind.
Go!
Billy. In this world that we're in right now, I had to go through the crowd one time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, to go down and do an interview and then come back up. And this one, it was like if a guy did what she did. It would have been a Me Too movement.
Grab right. you? Did someone grab you?
She said, oh, you can come by as long as I can grab your... And I said, what? Like it catches you off guard
right.
now. And I giggled, I think, and I just keep moving.
Went, ooh.
It made me so... At that moment, I'm like, holy... You know, I'm...
And then you went, yes!
And I said, I'll stand right here.
Yes. I have no... No, I'm not going to pass you.
All right, hang on real quick here. We got a telephone call. Where are we going?
It's not Victoria, is it?
Yeah, she's really upset.
She's on the phone. Yeah,
no, she'd be laughing her ass off.
Yep. I think I know Victoria well enough. All right, what am I taking here?
Bird says two. We're trusting Bird here. Okay. So Bird.
Right. Hello. Right. Hello.
Hello.
Mike. Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you? So last year, after one of the Bruins playoff games, I went across the street with my girlfriend for a few beers. And when we went back to the parking garage, we hit the button to get onto the elevator. And it was Jaffe. It was the whole crew, Nesting crew. My girlfriend was in shocking awe of how handsome Billy Jaffe was. The whole ride back to Rhode Island. The whole ride back to Rhode Island, I had to hear about it.
I'm telling you. He's quite a catch.
He's got that musk.
I like your girlfriend. I like you too, buddy. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth.
Very nice. I'm embarrassed. I'm speechless.
But my question was, does Dale have a weird, like groupie kind of situation, like a specific demographic that's like big Dale heads?
A lot of people.
But like females that are attracted to him.
Truthfully, you're gonna.
No, I'm not mad.
I know you're not. I'm saying we don't see that. We're isolated.
But you get emails.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, nobody's got my email.
But you got Twitter.
Honestly, nobody ever says a word on Twitter. Nobody.
Oh, really?
Okay. No. You know, it's weird.
Women reach out to @BJaffe? @BJaffe?
Sometimes people tell me if they like what I'm wearing or what I don't. Because for some people, what I wear is a little too much, I guess.
Oh, really? So you have, like, fashion experts who are chiming
everyone,
in?
It's weird, depending on what I wear. Not a daily thing, but every so often, and right. I love that because it's funny as heck. But, no, it's weird. You know, we're hockey people. I think you guys have a different vision of us. You guys are these mega stars. We're just these little tiny nothings just talk about hockey.
It's not true at all. It's not true at all.
You know, you guys are, like, you know, every day on the air. We're, you know...
I think that all went out the window in 2009.
When the station flipped?
When the station flipped, I haven't seen a female since 2009. Yeah. From 2006 to 2009, we saw a lot of females.
But all right, we'll talk to you about hockey, I swear. We will talk to you about hockey.
Okay, we have 14 minutes for that.
Right. Billy wants is desperate to get out of here. He drove all the way to Dorchester for this.
It was a nice ride today.
Are you taking some time off?
A little bit. Yeah, I wasn't sure if... because I wasn't sure if I had to go to the NHL Network or not. Because of the All-Star game and how that coincides, I've actually got a couple of days off. And we will do a rare little very quick getaway with the kids. But still be on next week with you guys.
All right, so we will be right back.
I think I just spooked out Billy Jaffe. I didn't mean to.
Billy's staying in an Airbnb, and Rich is telling him to be on the lookout for cameras.
I said, if you're in an Airbnb, spend the first 30, 45 minutes looking for cameras. Because, I mean, it's a real thing. And, I mean...
I didn't realize. I've never done it before. Ever.
Yeah. If Airbnb. It works out, it works out. It's great. I mean, if everything's on the up and up, you're fine. But, I mean, there is... And, by the way, they're legally allowed to tape you... I think anywhere but the bathroom and the bedroom. I think in the living room, like
in the pool.
There are a lot of tape. Absolutely,
the kids are sleeping.
Yep. I think as long as it's not in the bathroom or the bedroom, they have every right to film you. But now I think Airbnb, because they've been in so much trouble, that they are like anyone who rents there is required by law to inform whether or not there's security cameras.
Wouldn't that be in the same vein as a rideshare at like a Uber or Lyft, they have to tell you in the car if they're filming you.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Are we there yet or no? I mean, should be.
Dude, if I was a rideshare person, I'd always have a camera running. Always.
Oh, absolutely,
no question.
I would let the people know too. This camera is.
Oh yeah, it's no good if you don't let them know.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I don't want you to hit me. I don't want you to beat me up.
Last rideshare ride I had was the greatest. We watched The Office.
Really?
Yeah. I said, we want to watch The Office. I said, yeah. Put The Office right on there for me.
It was nice.
All right. So you get 9 days off.
My wife just said she's not going to a place with cameras.
Now, who's all texting? Now, is Victoria, she knows you're going to be on the air, so she's listening?
I guess. I didn't realize. She must be, obviously. I think she's driving into work. She loves you guys. You kidding me? The ATL, baby. We go back. You know that.
I know that. Victoria's a lovely woman. Her and Stephanie, I believe, had a coffee the other day.
I just got a tweet, by the way. Me and my wife were trying to get pregnant for 2 years. Then we saw Billy Jaffe at a restaurant. She was so smitten. She talked about him all night. We had the best sex of our lives that evening. And when we found out we were pregnant the next day, healthy little Billy.
Good for you, Billy.
So there you go.
He's called an egg dropper. Good for you.
Maybe that would get
you. You must be so proud.
I hope Victoria's proud.
Billy Egg Drop. It's Billy Egg Drop.
Billy Egg Drop. Billy threw me under the bus so bad.
When?
Just in the last segment. I go, you know, all these girls, like, you know, my wife's friends will say, oh, you know, Billy's handsome. And then, and she'll go, oh, yeah, and he's Jewish. And they go, oh, God, yes. And then Billy's like, what does it matter?
I didn't realize it mattered.
What is it? What are you...
What do you mean?
A young Jewish girl finds a rugged, handsome, old Jewish guy that's on TV.
Oh well, I didn't realize that mattered. I'm not being an ass. I'm not, Freddie. I'm not trying to. Anyways, it's very nice of them.
I feel your pain. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
that's awesome.
Just
it should
being,
matter. It should.
You should talk to my wife and the stuff I had to deal with her parents. For not being Jewish.
We're mixed marriage.
No, I know.
And
so am I.
Yeah, I know. Nothing, no big deal.
Right? That was a big deal for me.
It was tough. Eh?
My parents didn't care, but hers certainly did.
Oh, really?
No, her mom was not happy. That's another story, though.
Yeah.
We go down that rabbit hole fast. All right. So with 9 days off.
Yes, sir. Yes.
How much can the body actually heal? Because you hear about, like, a bye week in football and, like, how you can heal and you can...
It's significant.
Okay.
It's significant because, first of all, most of these guys, if not all, will be heading somewhere very warm and tropical.
Mm-hmm.
Turks and Caicos this time of year seems to be the locale of choice for many hockey
players. I was
there
last year.
And a lot of guys go down there, and it's a great spot. There's really not much to do, which is awesome.
Yeah, I was there last year.
And you know, the body, for these guys that run, and I don't mean, you know what I mean, they go a couple of days off. Forget 8-9 days off, but a couple of days off is enormous. Now, if somebody has a significant injury, they're going to have to be out regardless. But if you're playing through something that is tweaked, that is sore, that is whatever, to have these kind of time off and rejuvenate in a very different climate, oh, man, it's huge. Now, some of them will actually get stir crazy and, you know, I don't know if they'll get on the bike, but they'll do their own exercises, their own routines to keep themselves going. There's no doubt about it, because it's like that machine that when you turn it off, you're actually afraid to turn it back on if you haven't kept up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But this is, and mentally, more than anything, this is the mental break. This is the mental rejuvenation right now.
And there's kind of a feeling after the All-Star break is done, this is in most sports too, that now the real season starts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the official, or I guess it would be the unofficial start of the second half or end of the first. Even though we're past the 41 game mark, this now feels like the first half is done, because the extreme intensity, or the intensity picks up to such a point that these 30 games feel like 51.
Right, because at the end, it's basically the playoffs at the end of the season.
For some teams, right.
Right. Okay, if you were a star in the NHL, would you want to play in the All-Star game?
No, but that's selfish. Meaning, you know,
it's not selfish.
Here's the deal. Next year's All-Star game is going to be in South Florida.
Okay.
I wonder how many more players will be willing to go there, because they'll probably be able to bring their families, put them somewhere that's very comfortable, you know what I mean? And yes, they'll deal with the tropical or the media stuff and everything for the tropical climate that they will then stay in, either go to before or stay in after. Fair or not fair, certain markets will probably increase attendance. If I'm a guy, would I want to go? You know, look, there's a lot. Most guys probably could use the time off. The games now, even though we have certain at time games where you're like, geez, that wasn't as intense. You know, like last night's game against Vegas, for two teams that are going on hiatus,
it
was pretty darn intense.
That was a great game.
They both needed it.
Yep.
They both wanted it. And because of it, we had a good game.
Yeah.
But if you do that, so say they've burned, what, played 51, 52 games now? Let's just say 40 of them have been pretty darn intense. You get a few clunkers here and there and whatever. Right. It's a lot of hockey. And you're like, wait a second, I get a choice of going and going to St. Louis and doing this and that, and or getting away for 8 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the human nature, I think. Now, if you're a first-time guy, like Bruce Cassidy said it crazy, I've never been to an All-Star game. I'm excited to go.
No, then that's the thing, is that if I'm a young player and this is my first or second All-Star game, I'm definitely going.
Are you biting the hand that feeds you if you're a star?
Yeah.
That has helped make you a star, meaning the league.
Now, did they suspend you?
One game.
They suspend you one game.
Either before or after. Marc-Andre Fleury, for instance, who played goal last night for Vegas. They had to make a decision. You're going to suspend him for the last game last night or the first game in Carolina?
Now, it's going to be here. They were going to suspend Rask a game, but now that he has a concussion, does he still get suspended?
That's the question that we've all been trying to get a distinct answer to. And I thought I heard and was told that by Bill Daly, the number two guy in the league, that if Rask was injured, that he would not get suspended because he's injured by, but does that mean that he's still, meaning, is he still suspended? Is he still suspended? I mean, is he still quote unquote injured?
They can't
for the first game out of the break.
Even though he said that, I think that now that he is hurt.
But when does he start playing again? That's the
right. So if he's ready to go after the break, I think that you still have to suspend him.
I don't. Now here's the deal. Tuca,
ready to go after the break.
I'm going to guess Tuca would not play the first game out of the break, regardless.
It's a back-to-back, right?
It goes Winnipeg and Minnie. You want to talk? It's like a real bad, real great trip, because you're going there and you're in and out both those cities in this time of year real quick.
Right, right. Oh, God.
So you don't have that day off in Winnipeg, which is like a week.
DVDs.
So this is my guess. Even if he does get suspended, Freddie, he has a long practice. The first day he gets his legs back here in Boston, they fly to Winnipeg. even if he's suspended, he spends a ton of time on the ice with Bob Asenza and other players, taking a ton of shots on that game day.
Right.
Doesn't play there, but then the next night he comes off. That's my guess. But is he technically? I'll tell you what it matters is if you got to bring another goalie and you're just taking a teeny bit of money from your salary cap by having to bring another guy up.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, always a pleasure, sir.
Always a pleasure being here. That was a fun, interesting half an hour.
So your wife was roommates with Jeremy Roenick's wife?
Freshman year at Northeastern.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
So you learn a lot.
You do.
You learn a lot.
That's where they met.
And Jeremy met his wife through you?
No. Jeremy met his wife before that. They were high school sweethearts.
Oh, so you met Victoria through them?
Yes, technically I did through them because she was at a Chicago Blackhawk game seeing him play with her friend Tracy and a few other women, watching him play because he was in town with the then Phoenix, now Arizona, but Phoenix Coyotes. And that's when I was just starting in broadcasting with the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's where we bumped into each other.
That's when she got to know Billy Eggdrop.
Yes. Billy the Eggdropper, that's right.
She said, yes, that's where she said, I want his egg drop.
That's right.
All right.
Billy.
She's going to kill me.
Billy, yeah, I'm sure she'll be real upset.
You know what? We can have all the cameras now on vacation. Because
suddenly, I don't feel like the biggest nerd in the room. All right. So we will be
hold
back.
Hold on, Wallach.
What will we talk about, Rich?
Oh, we got a real basketball fight last night.
Yeah.
Oh,
good one.
Really?
It was good. Yeah, it's a
good
one.
Which game?
Kansas State, Kansas.
There was a chair. There was all kinds of
stuff.
And
the reason it started was fantastic.
Yes. All right. We will talk about that. Here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich. Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on? There was truly a wonderful moment in sports last night.
Of course, because when most people hear the term basketball fight, they immediately laugh it off. But we had a real one last night, and it was for an awesome reason. So it was 81-59, Kansas over Kansas State. Kansas, of course, the number 3 ranked team in the country. Kansas State, I think, is like 1-4 at this point.
Just very quickly, how is Kansas still playing? Didn't they get popped for illegal recruiting?
Was that Kansas?
Yes, I think Bill Self.
It was Bill Self. That's a good point.
So I just
How long ago was that? When was that?
That was last summer.
That was last summer.
Yeah, it was the whole Adidas scandal.
Yes.
Chuck Person was the guy. It was Auburn that really got nailed, and Arizona, too. Those were the two worst.
I don't know what happened. Nothing's happening then, but go ahead.
So, I mean, it is an over 20-point game. There's 10 seconds left, and the guy from Kansas is just dribbling out the clock. There's under 10 seconds left, and it was all but officially over. But, however, one of the guys from Kansas State said, no, not so fast, stole the ball from the very slow dribbling Kansas player and went up to go for a layup. The guy who just got the ball stolen from him said, are you kidding me? Chased him down and swatted the ball into the crowd. Like, you're not going to do that dick move.
At
the buzzer.
Of a 22-point game.
Like, we're up by 22 points.
No. If I'm the guy from Kansas, let him take it. What do I care?
Well, I just think that's a dick move.
If you reverse the scenario, then there's a fight. If I'm the guy from Kansas, how is it a dick move? Go, take it. Good.
Game's over. 10 seconds.
No, but that's not the rules of that's not the rule of basketball. The rule is not to run it up if you're doing a full court press up by 20. If you're taking threes when you got a 20-point lead, all those with no time left, those are all. If I'm the Kansas from Kansas, take it. Good. Good for you.
Not the case. Last night.
Well, apparently the entire Kansas team does not think the same way.
Bill Self, I am livid. Why would you possibly care?
So the guy from Kansas who has a ball stolen chases down the dude from Kansas State and swats the ball. And that's when, and then after he swats it, the guy falls on his back and he stands over him and just stares at him. And that's when this happens.
And that'll do it. This version. And a block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yep. That's not good.
This is bad.
This is
no good. Oh, this is terrible.
There are going to be ramifications for this going forward.
And it's just no point to it. Yeah, that is not acceptable.
I would get my team to the locker room right now. There were definitely punches thrown.
Yeah.
These officials cannot leave the floor until they sort this out. And this could have ramifications going forward for both teams.
The still photos that have come out of this are amazing. There are administrators, fans, players rolling around on the ground.
They're in the handicap section, by the way.
Yeah, people getting knocked over in the handicap section. And then there's one photo where D'Souza, who was the guy who got the ball stolen, he picked up a chair. And the still photo is him rearing it back. Ray just smashed someone in the head.
It was so disappointing when he dropped it.
I know. So he pulls it back just enough for you to get the photo, and then he puts it down. You're like, oh.
There was a Kansas guy stomping on someone out near the barrier. Think about it. Nothing's going to happen to him because it's Kansas.
Oh, sure they are.
Oh, no. The NCAA, although they move at a glacial pace, will look at this, and they have to crack down to prevent this from happening in the future.
What would you do? Would you suspend him from the tournament?
You would suspend. There are going to be lengthy suspensions.
College athletes
go into the crowd? Hell yes.
I'd suspend him for the tournament. And that happens, Rich. That can happen.
You're a number one seed. And by the way, one of the sub-regionals is in Omaha this year in the Midwest region. You're Kansas. You have a cakewalk to the Sweet 16 laid out in front of you.
You win that division every year.
If stars of the third-ranked team in the country blow this for you and get suspended for the tournament or the rest of the season,
but
you're screwed.
They all left the bench, so you have to punish the entire team.
You absolutely do.
I would not let them play in the tournament.
Wow. That's why,
I can't think of a dumber thing to do than if you're dribbling out the clock and the kid comes up to take the ball and you have a 22-point lead, not to just let him take it and start laughing.
Well, that would be funny. But, I mean, I could see why the guy felt he was being disrespected.
No!
Totally.
You're
going to try to steal the ball from me. You're down by 22.
Good.
I'm not going to let you finish.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was inexplicably dumb. If it happened the other way, I understand.
By the way, watching this video, there's so many new layers.
And then to stand over the guy.
That was pretty funny. There's so many new layers that come out of this. And the newest one that I've noticed is that Big J, Kansas's mascot, total coward. Just completely ran from the scene.
So are the cheerleader guys. They're total cowards too. They all got out of the way.
I mean, everyone's throwing bows. And you're in there. I mean, what are you? You got a suit. You're not going to get hurt. It's all got stuff in it. And you took off.
I'm taking off too. I don't want anything to do with that. shenanigans.
But you're right. I mean, there's people rolling on the ground. There's some parts where you can't see what's going on, but you just see knees going up, stomping on the ground.
Yeah, it was a full on real brawl. It was worse than Malice in the Palace. It was, except they didn't fight fans. But it was.
That's the only thing. The visual I have is Ron Artest hopping into the crowd and going after.
Well,
guys.
That's why it got crazy. But they're in the handicap section, dude. They got to ban Kansas from the tournament.
Well, Dan said that the reason that the guy with the chair put it down was that somebody grabbed it.
He was ready to swing, and he was in swing motion, a guy in a suit jacket grabbed the back of it just as he was, going into the motion, and then he let it go.
Ugh.
And then that guy also pushed him up against the wall.
I can't imagine being Bill Self. When was the last time they lost to Big 12?
I'd have to
20
look it
years
up.
Ago?
It's been a while.
Then you'd. I don't know if you have to bounce them out.
You have to bounce them out. You have to bounce them out of the tournament. This is college athletics. They have to bounce them from the tournament.
I wouldn't be surprised.
What else are you going to do? Suspend the kids for a game?
Yep. Or for like a week or 2 weeks.
Then who's going to play in the game?
I mean, not every player, but I mean, you'd have to want the ones who threw
everyone
punches.
Not everyone
threw punches.
If you leave the bench and go into the crowd, you are part of it. You can't suspend the entire team. They have to do a punishment for the entire team.
You make a good point. Everyone was out there. Only about like four or five of them were actually punching, but you're right. They were all off the bench and you can't.
They're all
do that.
In the crowd. You're not allowed to leave the bench.
Yep.
And then to go into the crowd.
That was nuts. Dude, that was a great fight.
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. I mean, I can only imagine being Bill Self, who's a cheater, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only imagine just saying, no, when the kid just started running down the court. Stop it.
Season over. Well, unfortunately, another fight that we have to discuss real quick.
Hang on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, from 2002 to 2019, Kansas has not
won a regular season title, I think, twice. They've had a share or won the thing outright in a regular season 10 of the last 12 years.
Okay, a Big 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, speaking of fights, you know, we told the story yesterday about Delonte West, and there was that video of him after he got beat up in the street. And now we're learning a little more information about that incident. Apparently, Delonte, according to eyewitnesses, is the one who initiated the fight by hitting the man in the video with a glass bottle. They say the witness told officers that she involved the handcuffed male, which was Delonte West, first hit the other with a glass bottle, and that man responded by striking the one who had thrown the bottle several times. They say that the two men knew each other, and there was a dispute earlier that morning. However, one of the men was bleeding from the face when the cops arrived. That was Delonte West. They both refused medical assistance and refused to press charges against the other. As for the release of the video, the police officer who filmed Delonte West sitting there, he has been suspended.
Well, I would imagine so.
Yeah, not allowed to do that.
No, I wouldn't say.
Or at least you are if you have the body cam, but you can't release that to the public.
Yeah, he has a cell phone camera and put it up on the internet, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably how it happened. He just took it and was like, I know it's Delonte West, and ended up throwing it up on the internet.
Like, hey, this is silly. Like, get me your cop.
I think Shams from The Athletic wrote an extensive article this morning about the incident. Apparently, Delonte was walking home from a local casino.
Yeah.
And that's where this all started.
Right around the corner, yeah. But, I mean, the video that originally came out is this guy with Delonte lying in the middle of the street, and this guy stomping on his head. And you have to ask, if Delonte West ended up coming up behind him and smashing him over the head with a glass bottle, I would say that's fairly justified in a fight.
I don't know, stomp?
Dude, you're going to break that, Zolak. That's an expensive camera.
He does that every morning. Every morning.
I know you mess
Nick,
with him.
Every morning he turns the camera at me or turns it towards a wall.
You're an NFL,
and Nick has to come in.
You're a quarterback with a quarterback's arm.
Now here comes Nick again. Has to check the camera.
We're on Twitch every day, by the way. Give it to Nick again. We're on Twitch. You can talk to each other on there. You go to twitch.com. Search the Sports Hub, or you can get the Twitch app on your phone. Very easy.
And real quick, when we get back, and I know we're going to talk to Zolak, but one of the biggest bands in the world is imploding and suing each other.
This story is really
odd.
And really unfair. We'll be right back. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. There is something very strange with a band that's been around for maybe too long. And what is that, Rich?
So, according to a new report, Joey Kramer, drummer of Aerosmith, he's suing his bandmates on grounds that they're preventing him from performing with them. It all stems from a shoulder injury that he suffered last April. At the time, it was described as minor, but he missed a few dates in the first half of a residency they did in Vegas. His place in the band was taken by their drum tech at the time. His name is John Douglas. Now, according to the report, Joey Kramer was required to audition for Aerosmith earlier this month. Yes, a band he's been in from the beginning.
To a click track,
by drumming along to a click track to show he was, quote, able to play at an appropriate level, something no other member of Aerosmith has ever had to do after an illness. So after listening to the tapes, the other band members determined that Joey Kramer, quote, did not have enough energy in the recordings. So they called him together and said, you're not going to be performing with us at the Grammys or the Music Cares Person of the Year benefit concert that they're doing.
Well, Rich, I having been to the Grammys, I have a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's entirely lies.
Yeah, right. You probably could have gotten away with it. Now, they also on top of that, this is the weirdest thing, that in addition to Kramer being required, he has to pay his replacement $10,000 a week for rehearsals and $20,000 a week for performances.
It's like getting rid of Ringo Starr. It's not a big deal.
They're not letting him play, but he has to pay for the replacement to be in there, according to this.
Like, screw you.
So in a statement that was provided, Kramer came out and said that this isn't about money. I'm being deprived of opportunity to play in front of my fans, blah, 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 blah. And so he said, but I did it in Aerosmith's 50-year history. No other band member has ever been subjected to this scrutiny, let alone be asked to audition for his own job.
But, Rich, they've always been so together. Every other member of the band has always had it.
So the guys from Aerosmith released a statement to this. They said, Joey Kramer is our brother. His well-being is of paramount importance to us. However, he has not been emotionally and physically able to perform with the band by his own admission for the last 6 months. They said, we have encouraged him to rejoin us to play so many times, but apparently he has not felt ready to do so. Joey has now waited until the last moment to accept our invitation when we unfortunately have no time necessary for rehearsals during Grammys week. Dude, these are the same songs you've been playing for 50 years. He doesn't have to rehearse. He knows how to play Walk This Way.
Plus, they're incredibly intricate.
He said, we would be doing a disservice to him, ourselves, and our fans to have him play without adequate time to prepare and rehearse. They said, compounding this, he chose to file a lawsuit on Friday night of the holiday weekend preceding the Grammys with total disregard for what is our limited window to prepare and perform for these events. Given his decisions, he is unfortunately unable to perform, but of course, we have invited him to be with us at both the Grammys
By
and the
way,
music games.
The Grammys are fixed, and now it's almost official. All right, Scotty Z.
What's up, Freddie T?
What's going on, my man?
I'm scrolling through your Facebook there and seeing nice pictures of you and your lovely wife there at the Encore thing. You got your Nikes on. Sweet shoes.
I do, baby.
How much are those shoes? The Air Jordans. Those are like collectibles.
You want to know how much they were?
I don't really want to know. I don't think any of the local sports teams could afford the type of shoes you have. Maybe the basketball players could.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Oh.
They were $500.
You wear $500.
You bought $500 shoes?
Jesus. Yep.
So things that you step in mud.
Yeah, they're ugly.
I only wear them.
He only wears them like he's like dress up
special occasions.
Yeah. With a trench coat.
He looks like $500 shoes.
Jesus. Yes. You know what you are? You're a young Shaughnessy. Sneakers and a trench coat. It's strange.
Scoops McGee.
Scoops McGee.
That's right.
I think the most expensive clothes, other than a suit, I had to buy a nice suit. But other than that, I think the most expensive thing I bought was a Patagonia jacket because it's apparently they replace it if it rips or anything for a lifetime.
Does it?
So I've got like this $200 winter jacket, which I've had for like 5 years that I've brought in and they fixed it and they replaced it. To me, that was a good investment.
Those are great too because you could roll them up. I know they puff up.
You put them in your pocket. Like they squish and you can literally put them in your pocket.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
I gotta practice packing tightly. For the Super Bowl.
My wife just texted me and said, don't start saying how expensive the shoes are.
Why? They're $500. You already said it. So yeah. Fred wears $500 shoes. How much are her shoes?
I don't know.
What sport would you want to play? If you had to like make money to buy shoes if you wanted to afford the type of shoes you wear?
I don't know what sport that is. You are something else. I don't know. All right. I have no idea. All right.
We just found out from Bert Breer that he's at the Senior Bowl and won't be in today. Just didn't tell anybody.
Huh.
So we won't have any stuttering for 2 hours.
He loves the Senior Bowl.
Oh, my God. There's like 6 Ohio State players here.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.